Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from our curate, the Reverend David Wilkie, entitled, Clear Out the Clutter.
Thank you, Lynn, for reading Nehemiah 13.
In those days, I saw in Judah people treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in heaps of grain and loading them on donkeys, and also wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them at that time against selling food. Tryons also, who lived in the city, brought in fish and all kinds of merchandise, and sold them on the Sabbath to the people of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I remonstrated with the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What is this evil thing you are doing, profaning the Sabbath day? Did not your ancestors act in this way? And did not our God bring all this disaster on them and on this city? Yet you bring more wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath." When it began to get dark at the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I commanded that the doors should be shut, and gave orders that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. And I set some of my servants over the gates to prevent any burden from being brought in on the Sabbath day. Then the merchants and sellers of all kinds of merchandise spent the night outside Jerusalem once or twice. But I warned them and said to them, "Why do you spend the night in front of the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you." From that time on, they did not come on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should purify themselves and come and guard the gates to keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember this also in my favor, O God, and spare me according to the greatness of your steadfast love. In those days also I saw Jews who had married women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab, and half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod, and they could not speak the language of Judah, but spoke the language of various people. And I contended with them and cursed them and beat some of them and pulled out their hair. And I made them take an oath in the name of God, saying, "You shall not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons or for yourselves. Did not King Solomon of Israel sin on account of such women? Among the many nations, there is no king like him, and he was beloved by his God. And God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, foreign women made even him to sin. Shall we then listen to you and do all this great evil and act treacherously against our God by marrying foreign women?" And one of the sons of Jehoiada, son of the high priest, Eliashib, something like that, was the son-in-law of Sanballat, the Horonite. I chased him away from me. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood, the covenant of the priests and the Levites. Thus I cleanse them from everything foreign, and I establish the duties of the priests and the Levites, each in his work. And I provided for the wood offering at appointed times and for the first fruits. Remember me, O God, for good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lynn, for reading that. A long one. 2 Corinthians 2:5 p.m. Thank you, Leslie.
So I made up my mind that I would not make another painful visit to you. For if I grieve you, who is left to make me glad but you whom I have grieved? I wrote as I did, so when I came, I would not be distressed by those who should have made me rejoice. I had confidence in all of you that you would share my joy, for I wrote to you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. If anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent, not to put it too severely. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. Now instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. Another reason I wrote to you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. And anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgotten in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Leslie. So we let's go back to Nehemiah. I was just going to. Sometimes I skip the Old Testament. How does that relate? Let's just get to the forgiveness of the New Testament, or whatever the topic is. I'm actually in hearing it this morning, and just listening to it. Actually, it makes sense. Sometimes I think a firm hand is needed to wake us up, to see what we're doing, because we a lot of the time we might just live in our own heads and not realize what it is that we're doing or saying or even thinking. And we need people in our lives to say, hey, I don't think what you're saying is right. If we're constantly thinking about something that's bad, or we're gossiping, or these things can just happen and we don't even realize it. And we need friends. We need people that we're accountable to say, Dave, I'm sorry, but I don't like the way you're talking, or I don't like the way you're acting. Or maybe, are you okay? It's kind of like, we need friends like that. I don't want just a friend who'll be like, okay, just end this, leave it. I need someone who will speak into my life and actually shed light on what might be darkness. And it's really helpful. And so for me, my wife does that amazingly. And sometimes I think we do need a firm hand. So here we have this king and this, that they're not obeying the law. And he's like, come on, we need the Sabbath. And he knows the law, and he knows why the Sabbath is good for us. And he's not oppressing them because of some abstract law that he thinks will give him more power in some weird way. He's looking after his people. He's saying, we need the Sabbath. Come on, guys. So he's like hard on it. Close the gates. I will chuck you out if you do anything. And then this, the marrying and all this stuff. And there's this harsh words in the Old Testament about beating them and pulling out their hair. But again, it's a firm hand. And it's like saying, this cannot happen again, because throughout history, it keeps on happening. And we keep getting things wrong. We just rebuilt the walls. We're just trying to find out who we are again. So here's our identity, and this is what we need. And I think often, to be honest, we're missing that in our culture today. It's like, oh, your private life is your private life. Let you do what you do. And that filters into church as well. We're so scared to say, I don't think this is right, because you'll offend someone. And we will offend someone. And everyone can be so easily offended now, and we're scared of that, aren't we? Well, I'm a bit scared of that. It's so easy just to say, actually, that's your business. I'm not going to say anything about that. Just carry on, and I'll go over here. And that's what happens, isn't it? It's church splits, it's weakened, and we just don't talk about it. And then here we have the example of forgiveness, and Paul is, I love this throwaway statement that he has. What I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for the sake of the presence of Christ. That if I have forgiven anything, it's as though to forgive is a spiritual practice, and we have to practice it, otherwise it doesn't happen. And we need Christ to, and the Holy Spirit, to be able to do that for us. But Paul here says that, if I forgive anything, it's a bit of a comedy statement, as though he's, I've forgotten. I can't remember what it is that I'm meant to have forgiven people for, because he's worked through it. Now, I there is like modern wisdom in this, in forgiveness. So I want to read you just this little example that we found online, and actually my wife found online. And then it's not come from a biblical perspective, but it is, I think it's how we might translate some of this into our culture today. So let's imagine that you finally bought your dream house. Not just any old house you can afford, but the dream home. The one you could only afford after eating like loads of noodles for 10 years. I think it's a Chinese person. The one that's been on your vision board since you're 18. The one you've maxed out every one of your credit cards to make perfect. Maybe you should consider a tenant. The mortgage is pricey, isn't it? You have a walkout basement. It would be perfect to rent out while you're giving away your privacy. Your pragmatic parents say, no way, you say, this is my sanctuary. I've put too much of myself to let some stranger in my space. Now let's imagine a stranger walked in through your front door, through smelly trash everywhere, and announced loudly that they will live in your dream home for free. They're not asking permission. They're exploding into your sanctuary in the most obnoxious way possible. By the way, just so you're clear, they don't intend to change their horrible behavior in any way because they really don't care how you feel. Not one bit. Would you let them stay? Of course not. Yet this is exactly what happens in our minds. The person who gets annoyed, who annoys us most or treats us badly, gets the most airtime, while our patient loved ones are often taken for granted and relegated to receiving what's left over for our mental attention. We obsess endlessly about who's good enough to be a formal tenant in our minds. Yet we often let obnoxious colleagues, even rude strangers, squat for hours in our brain rent-free without any screening at all. To be fair, it's not entirely our fault. Our brains have these funny little quirks that cause us to default to this behavior. But just like you can keep bad tenants out of your physical space by screening them, you can also do the same with mental tenants. So what this person is saying is that we let people into our lives, don't we? We let people speak words into it and we can't help them soak and murmurate on it and think, you know, and it's so easy to be offended. And when bad things do happen, it's so easy to take that in and just hold it. And if that person is living rent-free in your room, in your mind, in your body, and yet it's not even affecting them. No matter what you think, you might be rehearsing statements that you got to say to them. Well, that person's off having a jolly, they don't care. And yet it's us that affects us most. And forgiveness is a hard thing to do. It's a spiritual practice where you've got to try hard to do it. And I believe we need Jesus to help us do that. We can only do it so far in our strength. There's this amazing story by Corrie ten Boom that I've shared in church before and many other times, where she meets the previous guard, the prisoner in the... Yeah, she meets a previous prison guard, and it's her sister that died in the prison camp there, and the German comes up to her and says, "Yeah, will you forgive me?" And she couldn't do it. She couldn't shake his hand. She couldn't do it, and everything in her just didn't want to do that. She'd been holding on to that, and that memory, and yet she asked God for strength. She still couldn't do it. She said, "Please, God, please help me." And then she just felt this like warmth flood through her, and her hand go up and shake this guard's hand. And I think that is, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, it's so easy, it'd be so easy. And I think in that position, I'd be like, do not forgive these people. Like, do something bad to these people. But instead it says, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do. That practice of forgiveness, joy, it helps us. It helps us live life to the full. It helps us. And so, I think to have a clear out of our mind, to be spiritually well, we need to sometimes have friends who tell us firm words and say, I think you might need to forgive them. And that's a really hard thing to say, isn't it? Like, because you're obviously angry. You're obviously, I'm going to upset you. But I think this person has got too much of a hold on your life. But we need friends like that. We need people like that who call it out to us and say, this person's messing you up, you need to forgive, or something needs to happen here. So be brave. Let's tell each other that. Let's be honest with each other. And we need forgiveness in this world today because it's broken, it's dark, there's so much violence and revenge, war and conflict, greed. He needs to start at the foot of the cross in forgiveness. So let's invite Jesus in and ask him to clear room in our minds and our hearts for what he wants to do, and to clear out the clutter, to clear out the anger and the venom that comes with offense. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you drive us forward to this on this narrow path that is hard. But you drive us there for the goodness, for our souls to be set free, to be able to worship you, to be able to see people as you see them. Lord, please forgive us this morning when we hold on to things that are causing us damage, that are tearing us apart, and we don't even realize it. Instead of being straight and looking up to you, Lord, we are bent double with our stomachs churning with anger and bitterness. Lord, would you help us to see that, however small, however big, however much of a foundation it feels in our lives, would you help us to see it for what it is? And Lord, I pray that your light would shed on it now, that your forgiveness, your peace, your love would flow through us like Corrie Ten Boom, that we may feel that there is more to this life, that we are able to let go. We might not be able to forget, but Lord, would you help us to forgive? And as it starts with us here and now, may that light just flood out, Lord. May our time be a place of forgiveness, of grace, of mercy, of compassion. May our church be a flag bearer of your compassion and mercy.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.